Thank you, John, for leading us in our prayers this morning. And good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. My name is Adrian. And I serve as the pastor here at Oaks Baptist Church. And we're going to be continuing this morning in a series that we've been looking at for the last 4 weeks. This is the fifth and final part of that series, thinking about our front lines, thinking about those times and those places, those opportunities we have to engage with other people around us in our places of work, amongst our friends, our families, the clubs, and the hobbies that we share with other people. And to help us just to remind ourselves of what the front line is, we're going to watch just a very short video clip where we meet a lady called Anne. And so we're going to watch this clip through. If there's someone at the back who could pop the lights off, I'll thank CJ. That would be helpful with the screen. So we're going to meet Anne before we carry on this morning.
Meet Anne. Anne always thinks of herself as fairly ordinary. Just an ordinary single, middle-aged mum with an ordinary, tiring job. She navigates through the ordinary dramas of life, but at the end of the day, she just gets on with it. Nothing to shout about, nothing to write home about. At least that's what she feels. But in truth, Anne doesn't get too much time to think about all this because Anne's busy. She has lots of people making demands on her. She has children that need to be taken to school, to friends, to shops. Anne often feels like a taxi driver. But she's not a taxi driver, she's a teaching assistant in a challenging school. She supports the teacher, puts up displays, works with small groups of children, at times acting like a cross between a sheepdog and a NATO peacekeeping force. She enjoys the job, most days, but gets home really tired, just in time to put a taxi driver's hat on again. So to keep fit, she goes to her aerobics classes twice a week. Keeps saying she makes sure she makes time for friends who can share the good times and the bad times with her. And at the end of the day, she winds down in front of the telly whilst talking to her parents on the phone, feeling slightly guilty that she's not seen them for a while. That's Anne. But one other thing about Anne. A few years ago, she became a Christian. And since then, she's lived with the question that won't go away. How can I be used by God? She's looked around church. But it's not so easy to know what she can offer. She can't play a musical instrument, doesn't want to get involved in children's work, hasn't enough experience to lead a small group, and would only be asked to sing if she were the last person left on earth. However, she's part of the creche rotor, and because she has a nice smile, she's part of the welcome team. But to her, it all feels too little. She's fallen into the trap that loads of us fall into, of thinking that God only wants to use us in activities that are linked to church programs. But the reality is that Anne has front lines all around her. Places where she spends much of her time, where God has already placed her, and where he's using her to make a difference. At work, at home, in cafes, in aerobic classes. She's surrounded by people that God loves and she could pray for, drop the odd word, continue to love in practical ways and really make a difference. This is her mission field. These are the strategic places where God has placed her. This is her front line. So here's the question. What would she feel about her life if she realised that in fact this ordinary life is no ordinary life at all? She'd still be the taxi driver for the kids on the back seat, but she'd see that her calling as a parent goes far beyond caring. She'd realise that she's the best teacher these kids will ever have about how to live the unnatural life as a Christian. Unnatural forgiveness, unnatural grace, unnatural mercy, all need to be seen to be believed. But when seen, they'll never forget the power of this memory, used by God. At work, she might not feel hugely important. After all, she's not running the school. The truth is, she's far more significant than that. She's an agent of the kingdom whose king rules the universe. As she works diligently, she's already demonstrating the difference that being a Christian can make to life. And when some of the big questions of life come up, as they do from time to time, she's got real wisdom to share, used by God. And when she's with her friends, she talks about her life and faith with humour, honesty, and a welcome sense of normality. And she's praying that her friends would join her in her faith in Jesus, used by God. And whilst their aerobic classes are no place to be singing Shine, Jesus, Shine, whilst desperately fighting for breath, it continues to do her good. She feels just a little bit more alive at the end of each session and goes home with just a touch more resilience as she mediates between children wanting to watch different channels on the same TV. Used by God. And Anne wonders how God could use her. Anne, look around you. This is your front line, the front line that God wants to use you on. The one he's placed you in, the one that he's using to form you into the shape of Jesus. It's the front line that's unique to you. Because there's no one exactly like Anne, is there? Except Reg, who retired years ago, and Beth, who's at college having a great time, and Kwame in the bank, and Nicola, who's looking for a job, and Graham and Elaine, who's just had a baby, and Sharon, and Zoe, and Matt, and Danielle, and Susan, and Tony, and Paul, and you.
So hopefully that helps us to understand what these front lines are. And each and every one of us has a front line. It's not something for somebody else. It's something for you and for me, those places where we engage with other people and share with other people. And we began our series by asking that question. Imagine what would happen if every Christian looked around at the people they spend their days with and asked God, how do you want me to be good news to the people here today? Imagine the impact that that would have on the world around us, a world that so very much needs to know and to hear and to experience the good news of Jesus Christ. And so over the last 4 weeks, we've looked at in our themes, we've thought about being all the difference in the world, we've thought about wherever we are, whatever we do, whoever we are. And in our final session today, we think about together we grow. Together we grow. And there are lots of passages in the Bible that we could point to that would speak to us about what it means to be a community of God's people together. And the particular passage that we're going to read from today is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. So Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. The words will be on the screen. You might also want to follow along in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I wonder if you've ever had someone say to you, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Have you ever heard it? Anyone had that? A lot of nodding heads out there of maybe you've heard that said. And in some ways, they're right. Yes, you do not have to be inside a church building to be a follower of Jesus. But when someone says that, they're also missing an enormous point. The fact that as the followers of Jesus, we are the church. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and not be in the church. We may think that don't go to church. And I would want to say to you this morning, don't go to church. Don't go to church ever. Now, before you go running off to the Evening Telegraph to say our pastor's finally lost it, don't go to church ever. Be the church. Be the church. If going to church is something like you do in the same way that you go to Sainsbury's or the same way that you go to the cinema, then don't do it. It won't be helpful. God wants us to be the church, to be a people who are in a relationship with Him and in a relationship with each other and making a difference in the world. It's not about going to church. It's about being church. And for the people of God, gathering together has always been an important part of that. To encourage each other, to learn together. So, some of those top 10 things that David reminded us of earlier. To pray together, to worship together. Those things have always been part of the important to the people of God. And so thinking back to that Bible passage that we read from Hebrews, what does that passage tell us that we share together as church? Well, first of all, it tells us that we are a people of confidence. I wonder how many of you remember this advert from a while ago, Colgate toothpaste. And you'll remember that the advertising line for Colgate toothpaste was that it gave you the ring of confidence. Remember that? I don't think they advertise it that way now. But for many years, they used that strap line, the ring of confidence. The promise was that if you used that brand of toothpaste, then you would have confidence in any and every situation. Well, Hebrews 10 speaks about confidence, but not confidence from the brand of toothpaste that we use, but it says this: therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10 speaks of a confidence not that of anything that we can do for ourselves or anything that we can acquire for ourselves. But Hebrews 10 reminds us that we can have confidence because of Jesus. Our confidence is in Jesus Christ and all that God has done for us through Him. Confidence that everything that is wrong in your life, in my life, every sin, that God deals with it. In Jesus Christ. Every wrong thought, every wrong action, every wrong word, everything is dealt with. Everything is paid for as Jesus dies for us on the cross. His blood gives us confidence. You know, we live in a world, don't we, where it seems as though everything is about getting your rights. Getting what you deserve, sometimes even at the expense of others. Well, what we deserve is to be cut off from God. A God who is holy and we are anything but holy. But God in His mercy offers us grace through Jesus. It speaks of a new and living way opened up through Jesus. The barrier between us and God, there is a way through it. And that way is through Jesus as we put our trust and our hope in Him. Because of Jesus, we can have confidence. The confidence of a forgiven people. The confidence of a loved people. The confidence of a people who have a hope and purpose in the world. Because of Jesus, you and I become part of the gospel story. You and I become part of the good news to the world. But we have to be truthful here, don't we? And we have to say that actually sometimes being good news in the world can be pretty tough. The world struggles to hear the message that we want to proclaim. The world struggles to hear a message that calls us to lives of love and service and sacrifice. You know, Jesus never ever said, follow me and instantly you will get lots of money in your bank account. Never said that. Jesus never said, follow me and you will be driving the flashiest car in the neighborhood. Jesus never said that. Jesus never said, follow me and you will have the shiniest, whitest teeth in your workplace. No, he never. Jesus said, follow me and take up your cross. Be ready to struggle. Be ready to be rejected. Be ready to be mocked. Even be ready to die if you follow me. And we remember that for many of our brothers and sisters around the world, that is the reality for them. But the call from Hebrews chapter 10 is to hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. To hold on to the hope we profess. And we hold on to that hope together as a community of God's people together. We're there to support each other and to help each other and to encourage each other in our faith. There are so many things that would tempt us to walk away, to wander away, to give up. But we're encouraged to hold on. We're encouraged to draw near to God, to have that assurance of faith, and to know that sense of peace and forgiveness as we allow God to be at work in our lives. So we're called to be a people who hold on to hope together and support each other in that. We're called to consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And the idea behind that word spur is that we might be those who are provoking, inciting good works amongst each others. Helping one another to live out our faith on our front lines, in our places of work, amongst our family, amongst our friends. Encouraging each other to do that. It's been lovely to hear again one of those This Time Tomorrow sessions as Pam shared where she would be tomorrow, some of the challenges that she faces in that, but also some of the opportunities. We're going to keep on doing that in our services from time to time, hearing about people on their front lines. So if that's something that you'd want to do and to share in that, then have a word with me. If not, I'll be approaching people direct to encourage folk to share in that. We need to keep on praying for each other on our front lines, spurring one another on that we might live out these lives that God has called us to, encouraging and supporting each other to keep on going. How might we do that? How might we do that as a church family together? To share, to pray, to encourage, and to support each other. And of course, part of that is about meeting together. As it said in Hebrews, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. The context that this letter was written to was amongst Christians who, for some of them, it would have been easier not to meet together with other Christians. There would have been other things to do. Perhaps the pressures on them were drawing them away. But the writer says, no, keep meeting together. It's important. It's important to be together. And it's as we come together and meet together on Sundays that we hear each other's stories. We're able to pray for each other, able to encourage each other. We're making space for God to be at work amongst us and in us and through us. But of course, the danger is that we go too far in that direction, then church is only about what we do on a Sunday. And that's the other extreme, the other danger in itself. It's almost sometimes we can get into the habit, I've done my church for the week. That's it for the rest of the week. I'll live the rest of my week as I want to, with myself at the centre. But no, the challenge is for us, for church to be a gathering together that we are then sent out into the world from Monday through to Saturday. And then we come together to encourage and to support and share together. That's where we find renewal together. We gather together for worship. When we gather together for teaching, for guiding, for equipping, to share in mutual support and to commission each other. And so we are, each one of us, yes, called to be together, but also called to go out into the world, to our front lines. You know, sometimes we have special moments in church life, don't we, where we pray to commission somebody for a particular work or service. If someone's going away to do something, we'll pray for them. Or taking on a new service, a new responsibility in the life of the church, we'll pray for them. But I thought, what we're going to do this morning is actually to end this series by commissioning each other to go and to serve on our front lines. So in a moment, we're going to pray for each other. We'll share in some prayers together. But before we do that, I'd like you to do something that's kind of a symbol. We've been thinking, haven't we, about, over recent weeks, we've been thinking about being those red dots in the world. The places that God calls us. Remember, we used that image of the six red dots in a corner of 100 grey dots. And that's the church as it is today. But we go out into the world and spread into the places that we go to be an influence, to share and live out the good news of Jesus in the places that he's called us to. And I'm going to invite you in a moment to come and to take one of these red stones. And to take it away with you as a reminder of some of the things that we've been thinking about. And perhaps you'll see it from time to time. They are genuine rubies. Mike's just gone pale, our church treasurer. They're red stones. So you can take one of these, put it somewhere where you'll be reminded, and you'll see it and reminded. Perhaps if you work somewhere and have a desk somewhere, pop it on your desk. If you spend a lot of your time in the kitchen preparing food for other people, put it in the kitchen and just remind you that you're there. And perhaps pop it in your pocket. Put it in your car if you're often taking people and transporting people around. Just a reminder that of what you're called to be on your front line. So we're just going to watch a short introduction, and then I invite you to come and take a stone and go back to your seat, and then we'll pray together. Let's
gathered,
welcomed,
celebrated,
restored,
gathered together,
encouraged,
supported,
loved,
reminded who God is,
hearts awed by His majesty,
eyes seeing fresh,
the wonder of grace,
thankful for His awesome, unwavering love,
reminded who I am,
and all I have received.
Challenged.
Equipped.
Renewed.
Commissioned.
Ready.
sent.
So our dots, our red dots are here together, signifying that we meet together. And yes, that's important to us. But can I invite you, if you would want to take on that challenge of being a red dot on your front line, of living a life that holds out the hope of Jesus to the world and the community and the group around you, can I invite you to come and take one of these stones and then return back to your seat, and then we'll share in a prayer together. Thank you. And if there's someone who can't make it to the front, if you'd like to fetch one for them, that would be great. Let's just hold on to those stones a moment and think about our own front lines, where that might be. Maybe it's a really challenging place, a difficult place, a place where thinking about where we might be tomorrow fills us with dread. We just bring that before God. Our front line may be a place of great joy, where we find great reward from what we do. We thank God for that. Let's pray together. I'm going to say the words in the white print, and then we say together the words in yellow. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of this community. We commend one another to you on our different front lines. Wherever we are, whatever we do, whoever we are, may the Holy Spirit guide us in all things, so that we may do God's will in the world, in the service of Jesus Christ, and with great joy. Amen. As followers of Jesus Christ, will you embrace your front lines as places of possibility and potential in the purposes of God? Will you believe that God is already at work in these places? And will you give yourself unreservedly to his purposes in you and through you, wherever you are? With the help of God, we will. Will you trust God with the big things and the small things that you do day by day, and seek to make all that you do on your front lines a part of your worship of him? Will you learn to rely on him, his power, his love, his grace, whatever you do? With the help of God, we will. As daughters and sons of your Heavenly Father, will you believe that your value, your worth, your significance, and your life on the front line flow from this identity? Will you embrace the joy and freedom of being a child of God, whoever you are? With the help of God, we will. And as the body of Christ, will you commit to encouraging and helping one another flourish in Christ and be fruitful on your front line? Will you learn to be the people of God, gathered and scattered, helping one another to make all the difference in the world? With the help of God, we will.